Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to a Mixed Reality podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tombe, and thank you for joining me for episode 9 of the podcast episode. I hope everybody is doing well. I'm exhausted. I just came back from Big Bear. I went snowboarding and I did quit halfway through. Don't let the Instagram photos fool you. It was definitely an adventure. I'm still sore. We went on Saturday and it's Tuesday. Today was supposed to be leg day and I was like, I can't move. And I also hurt my thumb. And I was like, you're going to be fine. But now it still hurts and it's Tuesday. So, you know, let me tell you, you may think that you're strong. You may think that you're athletic. Go snowboarding. And that'll be tested. You think you have upper body strength? You're probably like, upper body strength. Well, you have to like get up. You're gonna fall. And that's the most stressful part. I would say the snowboarding part is okay. It's the getting up that literally takes all the strength out of you. And I was dying. But anyways, that's enough. Because I, once again, was told I talk too much. So, let's get right into this episode. So, we're wrapping up sort of the Q&A series. We have one more episode, which will be next week, to kind of wrap off the whole Q&A series thing, but we're going to open a Q&A thing that'll be open year round. So every, episode, maybe I'll check it and see if anybody has any questions for me about anything. And that way we can also have a little suggestion box on there as well. So if you have any suggestions for future podcast episodes, I know some people have been DMing me and telling me some suggestions. So I'm definitely looking ahead and planning out the future of the podcast within the next few months. So if you have any suggestions about what you want me to talk about and things like that. Another slight update. I did get a request to start doing video, which if you see the state I'm typically in when I'm recording the podcast episode, you're probably like, never mind, right? But maybe now I'll start putting more effort into the way I'm looking when I'm recording the podcast, because you guys want video and I need to prepare myself for that down the line. So it's in the works, chit-chatting about it, trying to figure out logistics. So pretty soon video will probably be coming to a Mixed Reality podcast, which means we will be probably starting a YouTube channel as well. So it's super cool. You guys can see me. I realize that some of you guys don't know what I look like. Like people who I'm not friends with in real life, which I'm okay with that. So yeah, that way you can get... Another thing is I think my facial expressions when I'm talking about these different things kind of would make things a little bit more interesting, but that's what I'm a little bit scared about. Like I'm reading a question and you guys see like the judgment on my face. But anyways, it's loud. It's really loud. They're playing ping pong outside. I don't know if you guys can hear that. Let me assess the situation. Hold on. God for editing, right? You know? Anyways, so today's episode is going to be about family. And we didn't get as many submissions for family, but I do have a good majority of questions. So I thought I would just talk a little bit about what family means to me and give you a little bit of background about me and who I am. And then answer you guys' questions towards the end of the episode. So when I'm thinking of what family means to you, I think that family is like the backbone of who we are, right? That could be a very dramatic statement, but I truly believe it. Like our family, whether it's our chosen family, which I'm going to get into that in a little bit, or the family that we are born into, I think is the backbone of who we are. If we think about, psychology, we know about how proximity, changes the way that your family basically helps make or break who you are in more ways than one. So I would say I am I'm honestly, I think, a product of my family, and I'm a product of, my parents and their sacrifices and their hard work and my siblings and their personality, but I'm also a product of my family's negative traits as well. I know I briefly touched on this last episode, but I think we inherit so much, whether it's like physically, biologically, spiritually, whatever the case is, from our family. And I think because of that, oftentimes I think one of the biggest things that people hate being told is that they are like their parent or that they're like their sibling or something like that. And I think it's really interesting because I think obviously we know, like, statistically and genetically, like, we are our family. However, I think if there are negative aspects and traits and characteristics that you personally do not want to inherit from your family, it actually takes effort in order for you to identify what those things are and move forward. We went down a deep hole real quick. Okay, yes, we'll see how I'm flowing today. We'll see. Maybe Pastor Lily's coming out. Kidding. Anyways, and I briefly mentioned chosen family. I think obviously I need to acknowledge that not everybody grew up in a stable household, and stable is whatever that looks like for you. I know people who grew up in single parent households and are amazing people and are stable and all that stuff. So I would say stability is a loose term and you can define what that looks like for you. But a lot of people didn't grow up in a loving environment and didn't grow up with people constantly people constantly encouraging them, you know, and pushing them and loving them and all those different things. And I think it, like, breaks my heart a little bit. I'm not saying that my family is perfect in any way, shape, or form. I think we're actually far from it. But I think I know that I have the support. I know that I have the support of my parents and my siblings and most things that I do. And so knowing that a lot of people don't have that, I think breaks my heart. But here is where this idea of chosen family comes in. I think a lot of people, there are people who, like, friends who are going to be in your life that are going to feel like family. Like, I have friends that feel like another sister to me, that I can, you know, we can talk about everything with one another, that they will put me in my place when need be, that they'll love me in my highs and my lows. And I would say if you are a person who doesn't necessarily have that biological family, or maybe your relationships with your biological family are a little bit dysfunctional, I would encourage you to seek out those friendships that feel like home. And I think friendships that feel like home mirror what, you know, a good, loving family is supposed to look like. And so that's what I would say about chosen family. And obviously in this particular episode, I will be talking a little bit more about family, because I think that's what a lot of our questions have been asked and tailored towards. So that's what I'll be speaking on today. But yes. So let's talk about, you know, family roles and dynamics and all that stuff. I've already said, if you've been listening to the podcast since the very beginning, that I am the youngest. You could probably tell. And I have four older siblings. I have two older brothers and two older sisters. Me and the oldest sibling have a 10-year age gap. So I'm 20. He just turned 30. So it's like super crazy to me. Like, we're all pretty, besides that, everybody's like 3 years. Obviously, as you get, like, me and my sister that I'm closest in age to are like 2.5 years apart. And then her and my older sister are 3 years apart. And then my older sister and my older brother are 3 years apart, and so on and so forth. So we're all like 2.5-ish years apart. And so when I was like super, super young, when I was a baby, my brother was 10. So it's like really interesting, like the different roles and dynamics and stuff like that. I think when I was in elementary school, somebody can do the math on that. Like, my brother was in high school, or was going to college. Yeah, I was like 8 years old when my brother was going to college, my oldest brother. And I think the roles, I think each and every sibling plays a particular role, right? I think even if I were to look at just like my siblings alone, like, obviously I'm the baby. We know what the stereotypes about the baby are, you know, that I'm spoiled, that I'm whatever. Okay. I wouldn't say I'm spoiled. I would say I'm well taken care of. I don't know. I would say in particular, I don't think I'm spoiled. I don't. But I guess I'm biased, because obviously that's not typically like a good, you know, stereotype that people say about you. But I think it's also different. I think that's really important to note is I am African, East African in particular. So the Sudanese, basically the African, I think African family structures and roles that each sibling plays is a little bit different. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. So I'm the youngest, I'm the baby, I'm the spoiled one, I will say. The oldest sibling is typically the most responsible. I would say that's probably true. I would say he has his life together. then the one after, I would say he also works really hard and is getting his life together. And then we have the oldest sister, right? Who's basically like the mom, right? The oldest sister, although her and my oldest brother have like a 6-year age gap, like, I still feel like she was very much like the mom of the house, right? Would cook for us, would do everything, because for whatever reason in African households, brothers and boys can't do anything. Like, what? A man cooking? That's so crazy. Who would have thought? The only role, and not to shade on you guys right now, but the only role that I'm pretty sure my brothers ever had and were responsible for was taking out the trash. And even if they didn't do that, like, the girls had to cook, the girls had to clean, the girls had to do everything. Like, it's very common. Like, the girls just really had to do everything in the house. And then when the boys would do stuff, it's like they would always do, like, leave a mess, right? Like, my brother Martin has a very bad habit of leaving cabinets open when he's getting something. Like, he will go get a plate and leave the cabinet open. I'll walk in the house and it just stresses me out. I'm like, can we please start closing cabinets? And I remember when he went away for college, I was like, I wonder if you're doing this at your house with your friends at college. Like, are you just leaving every single cabinet open? And then now that he lives by himself, it doesn't really matter what he does, because I'm sure all his cabinets are open, and that's fine because it's only him. But being in a household where the girls were responsible for absolutely everything, I think although I was the youngest, I think I still kind of felt the weight of that. And I think the roles that family, like, just plays, specifically in African households, or honestly just any immigrant parent household, I think is very unique. I think in most cultures, I would say women, or outside of African culture, I think for the most part, like, daughters are kind of seen as, like, precious and all these different things and, like, you know, spoiled. But I think it's kind of the opposite in, at least in my house, it was in, like, African households. I think the men or the boys definitely were the spoiled ones and the ones, I would say, the favorite, honestly, probably. And I think it's just really interesting to see how family dynamics and stuff changes across different cultures. And so I've just been thinking about that a little bit. And then obviously going down our birth order, we have the oldest sister, obviously she's like the mom, and then we have the middle child, who also was like the mom because it was only me and my sister for a long time, my sister Sarah. So she also kind of had to assume that role when my older sister moved. And then there's me. And I think it's honestly really interesting. I honestly think that most of the stereotypes when it comes to birth order are somewhat correct, although I am going to push back against the spoiled stereotype just a little bit. But I think it's like, you kind of have to, right? Like, if you're the oldest, like, you kind of have to be the most responsible. You're probably taking your siblings to school or have to do that for a very long time, helping them with their homework. Middle child, they say, is forgotten. In my house, I don't think that was true, because I am in an African household, and the middle child also happened to be the first girl, and so she kind of got the weight of literally everything. So I wouldn't say she was forgotten. I think she just had a lot of pressure put on her. And then my other sister, who I think is technically also a middle child, I wouldn't say she's forgotten. I think as soon as my oldest sister left, she assumed that, you know, oldest daughter, you know, role. So that's what I just wanted to talk about a little bit, is how family roles and dynamics kind of shift across different lines. And so the really interesting thing is, obviously we all love our family. Well, I shouldn't say we all love our family, but most of us love our family. But to be real, every family has drama. And I think especially over the holiday season, that's where it really kicks up. And I think that's when all of your issues are kind of brought to the surface. For context, I have a brother who lives in Indiana. I have a sister who lives in Tennessee. And then everybody else lives in San Diego, or in California, I guess, San Diego. And so we're kind of all spread out. And so the holidays, or like big, like major events, are typically the only times that we see each other. But even with holidays, like, I don't think we've spent the past, like, 3 Christmases or Easters with each other. It's usually just everybody who's in California, like, does a holiday with each other. But I think the last time all of us have been in the same place was for my oldest brother's wedding, which happened in October. And it's really interesting, right? Because obviously we're all very spread out and, you know, separated and all that stuff. But obviously, like, when we do come together, everybody kind of assumes back into their roles, if that makes sense. Like, I think I fall back into the youngest sibling mindset. I would say my oldest sister falls back into that, like, mom, bossy mentality. My oldest brother would fall into, like, the responsible. My other brother, I feel like he's just there for the vibe sometimes, you know, like he's the comedic relief, I will say. Oh yeah, let me assign that role. I would say Martin is like the funny one. I also think that I'm funny, so I'm gonna give myself that as well. I feel like we're just kind of there, you know, we're just kind of there for the vibes. Who knows what's happening, but I think everybody else kind of assumes specific roles when we get back together, whenever we see each other, like when my brother's wedding was happening, like I think everybody kind of went back into their roles, and I was like, that's so funny. And then I had the realization that we're never all gonna live together again, and that made me quite sad, because you never really sit and realize the last time that you're gonna live with all of your siblings. And for me, that was literally when I was 10 years old was the last time that I've lived with all my siblings. Actually, no, it was when I was 8 was the last time that I've lived with all my siblings, which is so crazy to think about. Obviously, 8-year-old me didn't appreciate my siblings or my family as much as I do now, and now we're all spread out and everybody's like starting their families. Everybody's starting their families. One of my siblings is married. That's it. No, the rest, probably not anytime soon. Well, hopeful for them, but I don't know. It's looking a little, we'll see. Anyways, everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And it made me sad to realize we're not all going to live together again. And so when we do have those moments of coming together, I think we try to keep the drama to a minimum, because we know that it's very rare that we're going to get to interact with one another again. And I think that is something that... it's really sad, but also really, you know, interesting. But I think obviously there was a time in which I wasn't close with everybody. Obviously, I think having a 10-year age gap with your oldest brother and having like a pretty large age gap in between everybody else, obviously, you know, typically you're not the closest with your siblings. And we all were really busy kids. Like everybody was in sports and doing different things like that. And so I think even the time that we all got to spend together in our house was minimum. Like, I think it's rare that we were all in the house together. Typically, somebody had football, somebody had basketball, somebody had soccer, or whatever the case is. And so we were constantly, like, on the go. And I would say even in the midst of being on the go, I think we still made really good memories. And I remember my sister was talking about this the other day, about how her and I, we did, like, a little talk show. My mom was a hairstylist. And so whenever we would go to her salon, we would like be there all day, right? Because what do you do? And when we got tired of playing with the dolls and like trying to like braid their hair, we would sit in front of the mirrors at the salon, and we called our show the Sarah and Lily Show. And I don't know what we were thinking. I don't know what we were talking about, but we had a little show. I wish we could find like a video clip somewhere. And we would just entertain ourselves, because for the longest time, I think it was during the school year, we didn't have cable. Our parents didn't let us watch TV. So we really had to like make the most with whatever we had, because we didn't have cable. And like, what else are you supposed to do? We would like go swimming at the pool and all that stuff. And so we kind of just had to like, my best memories are made of like the most random things, right? I also remember my brother, Martin, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was singing or if he had his own little talk show, but my mom had this laptop that she would sometimes let us use. And he had a show or something. Like, I know there's video footage and I hope it's still somewhere. And I know he would just sit in front of the computer and just say whatever he was saying. He was probably singing. We'd have talent shows, see who was the best singer. I remember one time I sang a Bruno Mars song. I don't know what Sarah sang, but it was me versus Sarah, and Sarah won the talent show, and I was really mad. And my brother Martin was the judge. Like, I have little like clips and memories from things like that. I was gonna share another one, but I think when Sarah comes on the pod, she can talk about that story. But we just all have a bunch of fun memories. But it wasn't all like sunshine and rainbows. Like, there was a time when me and Sarah hated each other. Well, she says that I bullied her. Don't know how that worked, but she says that I bullied her. Like, there was a time that Sarah and I didn't get along. There was a time where I wasn't close with like any of my siblings, when I didn't really like them that much. And I think that's a normal part of growing up. I'm sorry, Bobby. I know my dad's listening to this like, what? I'm sorry. We like each other now, but there was a time when me and my sisters and me and my brothers, I would say I never really had a problem with any of my brothers. I just wasn't the closest with any of them. And I think definitely as you get older, I think your relationship with your siblings definitely changes, because you no longer see them as like, I was gonna say competition, but I never really saw them as competition. You no longer see them as like, I don't know, like they're just chill. Like, now you guys aren't snitching on each other. Like, it's just chill vibes. You're having a good time. You can laugh, like you can make jokes. You're not physically fighting each other anymore. Like, I would say growing up, your relationships with your siblings definitely morph and change. And I think there's something really good with that. But also on the flip side, like, you could also morph and change and realize that you guys don't get along at all. And I think for me, like, even when I get in fights with my siblings, it's understanding that, like, they've been there with me my entire life. They've seen me through every up and every down, and they probably know me better than I know myself. And so even in the moments in which I, like, they're pissing me off a lot, like, I understand that, like, I'm stuck with them forever, whether I like it or not. And I've been thinking about this, especially when I'm having hard times, like, with my siblings or my parents, whatever the case is. I always like to think, like, in a weird way, like, God knew that I needed these people in my life. And I was born into the family that I was for a particular reason. So I want to speak to anybody who's in that mindset. Like, why would I be born into this family? Like, oh my gosh, like, everybody hates me. Like, I don't know what the reason is, but I know that, like, I needed them in order to get through my life. And so even in the hard times, it's like, I'm glad that, you know, I'm in the place that I am. And I do believe in, you know, redemption and healing. I think you can 100% heal relationships within your families. I know a lot of people have dysfunctional relationships with their parents or whatever the case is. And I think, although it takes a lot of time and to heal and process, I do think it's something that's possible. I think having a good bond and relationship with your family, I think, is something that is very, very beautiful. And so that's one thing I would say. I do love my family. And although we're pretty crazy, I wouldn't, you know, change the Tone Bay bunch for anything. I think we have a great group of characters, I will say. Anyways, love the Tone Bays. Tone Bays, in case you're wondering. Because I've heard every, and I know I've said this before, Lily Tone Bay. There you go. But love the Tone Bay family. If you know French, Tone Bay. There you go. So, all right. Okay, so I want to go back to kind of the role of family in who we become, right? I know I briefly mentioned this earlier in the episode and kind of just talking about how, like, you, like, might catch yourself slipping and being like, oh my gosh, I sound like my mom or my dad. And I think there could be a lot of positives and a lot of negatives. I'll speak to the positives first. I think I said me and my dad are very similar. I would say his sense of humor is top tier. And I think that's a trait that I inherited from him. And I think it's really good to be able to laugh and make jokes, even in times that are, like, really, really hard, and keeping joy and positivity. One thing that I think I'll also say that my dad really instilled in us was that family is everything, and that family is extremely important. He would always say that if he were to die, he actually says this quite often. I'm sorry, Bobby. He would, you know, he changes what he says after, but it's typically like he was saying, if I'm no longer here, like, I don't want you guys to have, like, strained relationships. Like, I want, even when I'm gone, for you guys to still love each other and be with each other, and all that stuff. And I think that's one thing that I think I have kind of inherited from him, is I just wanting to build a strong, you know, healthy relationship with my family now. So that one day, if I have a family of my own, like, we're able to, like, be together and love one another and all that stuff. Yeah. And there's also some negative traits, right? That I think I inherit from everybody. I'm not going to give specifics as to who the trait comes from. But I do think that I tend to, like, if I get in an argument sometimes, I just, like, I'm, like, I fight the urge to hang up the phone. And I know my siblings know which person in the family tends to do that, but I've been fighting the urge, right? Because, like, typically I feel like if I am a very logical person sometimes, however, I think, like, 99.9% of the time I am right. So when I'm, like, getting in a debate or whatever with somebody and there, it's just not clicking in their brain, I just, like, okay, like, I just want to end the conversation. But obviously that's not mature of me to do, so I don't do it anymore. But that is a trait that I think I did inherit, unfortunately, from a family member as well. And what's one thing that you guys, kind of just a question to think about, but what's one thing that you guys swore you would never do because your parents did it and now you totally do? Whether you're, like, a parent and you're like, oh my gosh, I said that I would never let my kids use an iPad, and now your kids use an iPad all the time. I don't know. I'm curious. Like, what are some things that we said we would never do because your parents did it and now you're doing? Or vice versa, what are some things that you really wanted to do because your parents did it and now you're doing it? I think that's really cool. I think we're kind of like a big painting and a big masterpiece with everybody that's in our life. And I think family is such a core, I think it's who we are at the end of the day. And yeah, that's one thing I've been thinking about. I think one thing that my family also ingrained in me is I think I now have a strong work ethic. I think because I watch my parents work really, really hard and like overcome a lot of things and fight to make sure that we have a better life. My dad says that his only goal is that like we would be better than him. And I think that mindset of like honestly setting myself up so I can set my future up, I think is something that I think is engraved in me, knowing that I have to work hard and I have to go after the things that I want. Because nobody's going to hand it to you. And I think that mindset will take you really far. And I'm really glad that that's something that my family kind of instilled in me. And then I think also we're going to dive into faith a lot more next week, because you guys had a lot of questions and I'm really excited to talk about that. But I would say like my ability to choose joy in hard moments beyond just cracking jokes, I think is something that not only just like my blood family, but my extended family also taught me. I would say even just thinking about some of my family members or my extended family members who like lost people in their family, and how they were able to overcome like their grief and how they're able to work through all of that, I think is something that is very, very beautiful and something that I honestly admire a lot. And so I thank my family and my extended family for teaching me that. And then just thinking about, you know, your chosen family, right? I think one thing that's really interesting is obviously like the whole trend of like Friendsgiving. I don't want to say trend, but it's not that recent, but I would say more recently we've been using that phrase, right? Like Friendsgiving. And I remember a few years ago somebody's like, why are you calling it Friendsgiving? Like, are your friends not like family to you? And I thought that was a really interesting question, because I think there are obviously friends that like feel like family. There are we already calls like there are friends who I already know my kids are gonna call auntie, like I already know it, right? And there are people who just have been with me through it all. And I think that's one thing that's really interesting is well, the difference between friends and family, at least in my opinion, is unfortunately friends come and go, but your family is pretty much there forever, whether you like it or not. And so having friends that are with me through it all, I think is what makes them, it kind of sets them apart from being friends and being family. And so I would just encourage you guys, like, reflect on your family. I think it's really easy to be critical of, you know, the people who we grew up with. And I think taking a step back, I think as I've gotten older, I've definitely come to appreciate my family a lot more. And just, yeah, I think the role that they've played in who I am. I think also with family, there's a lot of things that I had to unlearn that I learned from my family. And so I think there's definitely two sides to everything. But I think I don't regret anything, even the really, really hard moments. I think make the moments now like 10 times greater. And so being able to create new memories and do those different things, like I would say, I'm really grateful for my family and that opportunity. But anyways, now I'm going to get into answering some of you guys' questions about family. Okay, somebody asked a question about what is family to me? Is it chosen or blood? I think I've kind of touched on that a little bit. I think your family is who you make it. I think it's the people who feel like home to you. I don't think it's just blood. I think there's people who I call my family who I don't have any similar characteristic to, like at all. I think family is who you make of it. I think a lot of people unfortunately have to find a chosen family because there's a lot of dysfunction in families. And yeah, I think whatever family means to you. But for me, I would say it's not only just my blood family, but the people who feel like home around me and the people who have seen me through everything. All right. What's one family tradition that you've always cherished? I would say, I don't think this counts as a tradition because I'm the only one who does it, but I will say it anyway. So for like major holidays, typically like Christmas and Thanksgiving and what else? Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter sometimes. I don't know. We will usually have like a dinner or a lunch at our house. And so, we have this like dish called sambusas. So all my East Africans know. Okay. And they're similar to samosas, but a little bit different. So we have sambusas and I'm the only one that like knows besides my mom, I'm the only one who knows how to make them. And so every single time the night before my mom's going to be like, okay, you're making sambusas tomorrow. And if you've ever made them, like, they're actually like, it takes time, unfortunately. Like, you have to sit there, you have to cut everything, you have to fold it, you have to put the stuffing in it. Like, it's really good. Like, let me tell you, I make some good sambusas. Everybody knows, okay? But it literally takes a very long time, and nobody ever wants to help me. And so the tradition is I will go back and forth with my mom before every holiday and tell her I'm not doing it. And then in the end, I always end up doing it because I'm like, you know what? Let me be kind. So that's not really a family tradition, but I think that is something that happens every holiday that my family benefits from because I end up making it and they all get it. And even my siblings that aren't, you know, in San Diego, I send them a picture just to shove it in their face that we're having sambusas that I made that look delicious and they're not. So yeah, that, but let me think if I actually have a tradition that we would do. Okay, I would say for most, or for Christmas and Easter in particular, all of us kind of went to different churches, the ones that still go to church, like in my family. But for Christmas and Easter, we typically try to go to church together. So whether it's we all go to church with my dad, or we all go to the church that we went to, or whatever the case is, because we all go to different churches throughout the year. So I would say one tradition is the fits. Right? Like everybody loves to put on a cute little Easter fit. Everybody loves a cute little Christmas fit. And my dad's fit for Christmas last year almost broke the internet. Like you guys, I don't think my story has gotten that many likes. You guys loved my dad's Christmas outfit. He was so proud of himself. He wore this long suit and now it's become an emoji that I use. We did like cut out the picture of him in the suit and I'll send the emoji. Like I don't even, like I don't know how to explain it, but I would say the fits, like the fits are always a great part of the tradition, as we always will go to church and then we'll usually come back to my house or my mom's house and then, you know, eat and then whatever the case is. So I would say that's been a really fun tradition. More recently, we started playing games at Thanksgiving. We played Family Feud a couple years ago, but I wish we had, I know some families have like game nights. We rarely all ate dinner together, so we didn't really have, like I said, that much time to, like, sit and do that. But when we started playing games for holidays, super fun. We haven't been able to do it with all of us yet because we haven't had, like, a Thanksgiving or a Christmas or anything with all of each other in a very long time. But if we ever get to do that again, let me tell you, it's going to be good. Tombay family game nights. Like, you should be scared. Like, I'm scared. But when we played Family Feud with my sister-in-law, my brother, and then my sister, 10 out of 10. Very fun. My dad loves Family Feud. I want him to go. Like, I think we should go on the show. I don't know how it works, but you guys should nominate us to go on the show. But unfortunately, there's too many of us. I have a family of seven. Well, eight. And how they don't, like, what? We're just going to pick the best of the best? I feel like that'll cause conflict. Anyway, why do I cherish that? Those memories, that was the second part of the question. I would just say any time getting to spend with my family, I think obviously as everybody gets older, it's very quick to like neglect those relationships. And so I think it's very cool. That's also one of the few times that we get pictures all together when everybody's dressed up for those holidays. But all right. How do you handle family disagreements or conflicts without damaging relationships? That's a good question. And if you figure it out, let me know. I'm kidding. I think how I should versus how I do it. How I should handle conflict in family is I think I should approach it head on. What usually ends up happening is I will phone another sibling and be like, did you hear what this person said? What do I do? And I usually just have to listen to what the sibling who I'm talking to says to do. How I should handle family disagreements is take time and, you know, take a step back because it's really easy to react with your emotions, which I don't think, you know, obviously I think your emotions are valid typically when it comes to conflicts of family, because I think it's very, very tricky because it's, unless you like completely cut them off, it's really hard to like, you know, kind of separate yourself from that situation. I'm like, should I say that? Sure. Like, I think there's many little conflicts and stuff that, like, there's, like, things that we don't agree with as siblings. There's, like, political differences. There's different things like that. But I think choosing that those disagreements sometimes, depending on what they are not worth damaging a relationship over. I would say just, honestly, try to understand where they're coming from. Like I said, I think your family knows you probably better than most people. And so because of that, they also know what triggers you. They know what sets you off. And they will probably try and make you mad. So I would say, understand who you're, like, it's, I don't think it's like a fight or a conflict between two people. I think it's people trying to find middle ground and understanding. And so I would say what you shouldn't do is I actually wouldn't get the entire family involved when you're having a conflict with one person in particular. Because I think that kind of creates unnecessary sides and weird situations for everybody. So I would say, try to talk to the person, try to see where they're coming from. I think some relationships, unfortunately, just aren't going to be fixed. I hate to say it, but I think there are some things that are just past being, you know, fixed. So that is that. That's what I would say, is approach the situation with grace and understanding and know that they're not the enemy. Yeah, I'm taking what I learned in my ethics class right now. With any relationship and any conflict, like, the other person isn't the enemy. As soon as you enter a conversation thinking that the other person is the opponent, you've already lost. So yeah, whenever you, because when people don't see themselves in a story or a situation, they tend to not listen. So if you somehow bring them into this and you somehow, you know, I don't know. Now I'm getting too into it. I could do a whole podcast episode on that class. I love it. And maybe I will at the end of the quarter. If my teacher's listening, hey, love your class. Okay. What role does communication play in keeping a strong family bond? And how do you keep it open and honest? I think for me, it's a little bit different because I am in a, I was going to say long distance family, but do they call it that? I don't know. My family's pretty spread out. And so I would say social media and texting and all that stuff is the biggest way that we communicate. And I think because of that, it's really easy to, for conflicts to arise a little bit more quickly, because when you're not physically with somebody, it's really easy to take what they're saying and not, you know, take what they're saying and, you know, flip it however way you want and, or whatever the case is. But also when you have a physical distance between your family, it takes effort to pick up a phone and call them and communicate with them. And I think some people are really busy or not willing to put in that effort. So I'd say communication, like I've said, with long distance relationships, I think the same thing plays a role in family. I think if people are not willing to communicate with one another, then obviously the relationship is probably going to not be as strong. But I think it's a little bit different with family, because I think regardless of how long it's been since we've seen each other, I think at least with my siblings and I think we're pretty good about being able to pick up right where we left off. But I would say communication is extremely important. I think it's important to stay updated on one another. Like, I don't want to be seeing the life that you're living through my Instagram. Like, I want to know what's happening in your life, and I can't do that unless I'm communicating with you. And how do I keep it open and honest? I think it's really easy, especially if you have people in your family who are very, like, quick to anger or, you know, don't like hearing the truth. I think it's honestly important just to keep that in mind. Like, I think the biggest thing about family is you often know who you're communicating with. And like I said, that people will often use the things that piss you off to make you even more mad in conflicts. I think you can do the opposite, is knowing what, you know, what your sibling or what your parent, like, responds to in conversation and trying to have that conversation with them that way. Yeah, I would say that. In what ways has your relationship with your family changed as you've gotten older? Yeah, I've definitely already touched on this, but I would say I think it's only gotten stronger, which is weird because we've all been very separate. I think my relationship with my siblings, for the most part, has gotten better. Because I think we're older, we understand each other a little bit more. And I would say, yeah, that's how it's kind of evolved and changed. But I think also, like, the role that different siblings played growing up probably changed as you got older. Like, for example, I said my oldest sister kind of was, like, the mom and would, like, make us do, or would, like, cook for us and, you know, help us with stuff and all that stuff. Obviously, she's not really that person anymore. I would say Sarah is. Yes. It's more of like a, she doesn't cook for me, but we'll pretend that she does. Like, I think as you get older, the roles that you play in your family kind of changes a little bit. And I think, honestly, it's for the better. I've only heard people say that their relationship with their siblings has gotten better as they've gotten older. Like, especially in this, like, this is the only time we were all in our 20s together for, like, 2 seconds. Isn't that so weird? Like, I was turned 20 because my birthday's in December. And my oldest brother was 29, and that was stayed like that for like 2 months. And then now we're all, you know, not in the same age range. Like, that's so strange to me. But I know definitely as we all get older and, you know, have our own families and stuff like that, it's going to be, I hope that it keeps getting stronger, but I think that obviously requires more effort. And so I hope that as I get older, our relationships keep getting better so that all of our kids can be besties. Okay. All right. What is something you wish your family understood better about you? Ooh, that's a really good question. I would say, I don't know. This isn't really something I would say my family would understand better about you, but I'm going to flip it a little bit. I think one thing that was really hard, especially having two sisters, as we like all went to church together and all that stuff, and so we were kind of known as like the Tone Bay girls, the three sisters. And so for the longest time I was always linked to that, right? We were always kind of one. I think it's really hard to be, you know, set apart or feel different in one of the cases when you're constantly tied to your siblings or constantly being compared to your siblings. And I was going to talk about this earlier, but great that this reminded me of that. So I think just like twins don't like being morphed into the same thing. Like, I didn't like that either. I think we're all individuals and we all have different things to bring to the table, and we were all just associated together. I think that was really hard, right? It was kind of hard to be different and stand out, or whenever you would do that, you would kind of be frowned upon, right? Like, you have to act in accordance to whatever name or title you've been given. And I think that's really frustrating sometimes. And so I wouldn't say this is necessarily something that my family needs to understand. Actually, I will say this: me wanting to be different from you is not me in any way trying to bash you. I think it's very normal to be like, I don't want to be just known as a Tone Bay sister, or I don't want to be just known as Evelyn's sister, or whatever the case is. Like, I don't want to be known as something different. In no way, shape, or form is it a negative thing that is a part of my identity, but I want to be known as something different, is what I would say. On a similar note, I think I've said, we were a very sports heavy family, okay? Not me as much, but yeah, whatever. We'll say we were a very sports heavy family. I think everybody in my family has played most sports. And because of that, I think my brothers in particular kind of made a name for themselves in that. And I would say, I think sometimes it felt like we weren't doing much. Like, my brother had all these accomplishments and was doing all these different things and playing college basketball and was doing all these different things. And we were kind of just like, hey, like, I don't know. And I think that also sometimes is a little bit weird, like getting compared to your siblings. Like, even when people would see me, like, I had a PE teacher when I was in middle school who, like, also had my brother when he was in middle school. And so I was already automatically a favorite, right? Because it's either one thing or another. I talked about my physics teacher not that long ago, and now he hated one of my older sisters, and because of that, he hated me. Like, sometimes it's good, right? Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, loved Martin. He was in my PE class. And so every time I would see him, he would always ask about my brother. He would always ask my brother. He would never ask about me. It's always, what's he doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? Love that. Love that he wanted to be locked into what you're doing. But also, I'm like, sir, why don't you just call that man up yourself and ask him how he's doing? Because I'm confused as to why I'm playing messenger. But anyways, on that note, I think sometimes it's hard to feel like you have to live up to the things that your siblings have done. And I don't really care as much anymore, because I'm definitely, we're all very, very different in different spheres and different avenues, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form like my brother or in the same avenue that he's in, and I'm very proud of him and the work that he's done, and this goes for all my siblings. But I think it's really interesting getting constantly compared to your siblings. Anyways, next. I didn't answer the question, but you can fill in the answer. Okay. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received from a family? I think I should do something from each of my family members. Okay. Oh my gosh, guys, my Duolingo streak is about to end. Give me 1 second. I need to practice my Arabic real quick. 1 second, guys. Okay. Perfect. I'm so sorry, guys. I will probably edit that part out, but I think it's so funny. I was about to lose my streak. Okay. I apologize. Let me get back to this episode. Okay. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever received from a family member? Let me start from the top. I would say, I'm going to do advice slash, like, I don't know. I would say for my dad, definitely what he said about, like, I just want you to be better than me. I think it shows very, like, selflessness. Like, and so I would say constantly I try to work and make him proud. I would say for my mom, probably when I do something stupid, like, she's always like, you're very smart. Like, I know you're smart. Well, sometimes she says that, but like sometimes she'll say like, you're a very smart person. Like, you have my brain. Basically trying to tell me that like, she knows I'm not stupid, so stop acting like it, if that makes sense. It sounds harsh, but I think that. And with my oldest brother, I would say with him, this isn't necessarily advice that he's given me, but I would say things that I've observed him do is, I think he's a very selfless person. Like, I think he would do like anything for anybody. Has a very kind heart, and I think that's something that I admire from him. For Martin, I would say he makes spaces for himself. Like, he will, you know, I don't think he takes, like, professionally, I don't think he takes no for an answer. Like, he finds a way, and he keeps going, and he keeps pushing, and he works harder than he needs to in multiple, in many ways. I think I've watched him do that all over. He works harder than he needs to, but because he wants to and because he wants to get better at what he's doing. So I'd say that's something that I admire from him. Advice that he's given. He didn't give it to me, but he was talking to, I thought about this the other day. He was talking to my oldest sister and he was like, if you're questioning whether a guy likes you, he doesn't. And I think like brothers in particular, I've just seen a lot of videos of them like clocking their sisters. Like they're the most honest people ever. And I think sometimes we just need it, right? Sometimes we don't need a pat on the back. Sometimes our brother just needs to tell me that I'm being stupid. And you know, it works. So he didn't give that advice to me, but I was listening and I was like, let me write that down. Great advice, Martin. I don't know if he remembers that, but I do. Okay. And then for Sarah, I think she's very good about reminding me not to care what other people think about me or the path that I'm going down or the different things that I'm doing. I think she, in many ways, I don't know if this is true, but I think fear doesn't seem like something that she has. I think she lives her life very fearless. There we go. I don't think she has much fear or care about what other people says, because I think she knows that this is her life and she wants to create the life that she wants. And I think that's something that is very inspiring for me. Oh my god, I went out of order. Evelyn. I'm sorry, I mixed up the order. I would say for Evelyn, the advice that she gives, I feel like Evelyn is a very creative person. And I think one thing I admire about her is how she works on her craft. I think it's really easy to kind of, you know, push everything to the side, but I think she's constantly pushing. I would also say with Evelyn, her faith is something that is inspiring. Well, it's not really advice, but I think that's something that I look at and I admire a lot with Evelyn. Okay, now we're shifting gears a little bit. We have two more questions under this. Somebody said, my parents see my major as useless and undermine my ability to succeed. That is very tough, and I think it's really easy. I think I can speak to this too. Although my parents haven't flat out told me you're not going to find a job, because I think my parents genuinely think that I'm capable, and they know what my long-term plan and goal is. I can definitely see how, I don't know what your major is, but I'm assuming it's one that your parents are assuming that you won't have like financial stability or like career stability in. And I would say understanding that their concerns are coming out of, or that they're comments or whatever the case is coming out of a place of concern. They just don't know how to show it properly. And I would say keep chasing your dreams. You know what you're doing. You know why you're doing it. And I wouldn't let even your family like stop you or tell you that you're going down the wrong path. Like if you know and you believe it, and then you can do it. I think it's really hard when, I think our family can be some of our biggest supporters, but also our biggest haters. Sorry guys, it's true. But I think understanding, like, you know your why, and keep reminding yourself that and know that you will succeed. And it sucks when you kind of have to turn around and do a little I told you so to the people that are supposed to be the closest to you. But if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. And I would say just stand firm on your decision and, you know, try once again. Although they're not approaching you with grace, I think the best thing that you can do is approach other people with grace, even when they're not awarding that same thing to you, and just be kind to them back, right? Although they're not being kind to you, and don't think that you're going to accomplish much. I know that you will. And I think don't let that fear of failure kind of stop you from doing what you want to do. Because I think it's really easy to, you know, be paralyzed with fear, thinking like, what if they're right? Don't even give in to that thought. Like, obviously be practical and be smart and know what you're going to do, but don't even listen to the thought that's telling you that you're not going to be successful, or anybody who's telling you that you're not going to be successful. I believe in you. I don't know who you are, but I believe in you. Okay, last, I already answered this question, but let's talk about this. I answered this question in the relationship episode, but I'm going to read it again because this was actually asked under family. And it was that this person said, I'm hella scared to tell my parents or my family that I met my boyfriend through Hinge. I don't want to lie to them about how we met. Any tips on how to tell them? I know last time I said my thought was like, don't tell them. Obviously, you gotta tell them. The truth's gonna come out eventually. We should phone a friend. Do we think my sister is gonna answer her phone? Let's call Sarah and see, you know. Actually, should I call Evelyn? No, we're gonna call Sarah because Evelyn's probably sleeping. Oh, she might be in class. Let me check. Come on, honey, answer the phone. Hello, Sarah. You're live with Remix. You're live with Remix Reality Podcast. I just have a question because I think you might be able to speak to this. Obviously, I can't. Can I record you?
Yeah, hold on.
Go ahead.
So the question is, I'm hella scared. I already answered this in the previous episode, but I didn't give proper advice, and this is under the family episode. They're asking, or they said, I'm hella scared to tell my family I met my boyfriend on Hinge. I do not want to lie to them about how we met. Do you have any tips? Obviously, you know, I don't do Hinge. I know you may have dabbled in it in the past, so... How would you...
To clarify... I've never gone on a date with anyone from a dating app.
Okay.
So, no. But I can speak to this. Someone very close to me also met their boyfriend on a dating app and is terrified. It's basically the same situation, but they've been together way longer to where at this point it doesn't really matter.
Wait. They don't know?
No.
Oh, that's crazy. I know exactly who you're talking about. Sorry.
Yeah. They don't know that they met on a dating app. Kind of made up a story. Whatever. I feel like, honestly, it just depends on, like, what you think the longevity of this relationship actually is. Because if this is someone you're not, like, you really don't see truly becoming, like, I don't want to say your husband, but if you don't see long-term with this person, then, like, maybe you don't need to be honest with your parents about where you met him, because it won't matter in a few weeks or a few months, whatever. But if this is someone that you're like, okay, like, we're going to be together for a while, and also, if it's someone that you're proud to bring home to your parents, it doesn't matter where you met.
Yeah.
I think, ultimately, it just... All that matters is, like, the type of person you're bringing home. I don't think parents really care that much about whether you met, like, online or, like, in a coffee shop if they're a good person at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything else to add?
I think that's all.
Yeah, I would say I think parents do care where you met them. However, I think one thing to say is, I said this in the last time I talked about this particular question, is I think you have just as big of, I think they're mainly concerned about your safety, right? I don't think they care necessarily that you met this man on Hinge. I could meet somebody on the street and they could be just as crazy. Sorry, that probably wasn't nice to say. But I could meet somebody on the street and they could be just as crazy as somebody I meet on Hinge. Like, I don't think... But I do understand where your parents are coming from if they are concerned. But I think also, if you're introducing somebody to your family, which I'm assuming people don't do right away. I know some people are really close with their family and might. But, like, if you're introducing somebody to your family, I think at that point in time, you know that they're, like Sarah said, going to be in your life for long term. So there's no point in hiding it. The truth will come out eventually. Maybe it'll come out on your wedding day when you're like, hey, guys, remember that story we told you about how we met in the library? No, it was a lie. We met on Hinge. Like, I just think... I don't think it's as big of a deal. I think obviously it's really scary because everybody has really negative connotations about dating apps, but I would say it'll be okay. I would honestly get the band-aid off now. What are they going to do? Make you break up? I don't think so. So, yeah. All right, Sarah, thank you. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
No, that's all.
Okay, should I call? She's been on Hinge dates, right? Definitely, but it's okay. I don't know if she's had the best luck, so maybe we don't need to get her advice. All right, anyways, thank you. Good night. Thank you. That was Sarah. Thank you. Okay. So I hope that was good enough advice for you. I would just say do it. Rip the band-aid off. I think, I don't know how quickly people tell their parents or family about, you know, their situations or whatever the case is. I think parents, you probably wait a little bit. Siblings, maybe you tell them before. I would just say, just do it. The worst they can do is be mad at you for a little bit. But I think it's better than, like, living your life or being in that relationship or starting that relationship off with a lie. I think also, like, it's also extra weird if only one of your, like, if two of you are in a relationship, only one of your families feel some type of way about Hinge. Like, in a way, I'm sure the other person probably wouldn't feel the best if you either didn't tell them where you met them or you kind of lied about it. Because I think it's kind of showing that you're in some way, shape, or form embarrassed of that. And I don't think you should be embarrassed of that. If you found something good out of Hinge or whatever dating apps you use, then I think you should be proud of it and be happy. But yes, typically their concerns come out of safety. I don't think they care anymore. I ran into my friend who I haven't seen. We lived in, like, neighboring halls last year. And I ran into her in the bathroom today. And we were talking. She's like, oh yeah, I have a boyfriend now. I was like, oh my gosh. We were talking about that. And I was like, where'd you meet him? She's like, girl, what do you think? We live in the digital age. And I just thought that was really funny and relates to that. But it's really true. I think everybody meets each other on Hinge or Instagram. So I think you will be okay. But yeah. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. This has been fun. I honestly thought this episode was going to be 30 minutes, but hey, I kept yapping, so I'm going to have a great time editing this. I want to say thank you guys so much. Quick announcement that I should have said in the beginning. If you're an Apple Podcast listener, there are a couple episodes that are not going to be on Apple Podcasts that are on every other platform like Amazon Music, Spotify, and all of the above. We are on many different platforms, so if you look up RSS Studio, you can find what platform works best for you. But if you want to tune into all the episodes, there's a couple good ones that unfortunately didn't make the cut for Apple Podcasts. But tune into Spotify or any other platform to listen to those in particular. We are on episode 9. So if you're on Apple Podcasts and you're like, Lily, there's not 9 episodes, you're right. The 9 episodes are not on Apple Podcasts. So tune in via another platform and we would love to see you guys. I'm really excited for next week's episode. So if you have any more questions for me for this month, obviously we're going into March. Very, very soon. Happy end of Black History Month to all my Black people who tune in to Remix Reality Podcast and everybody else. We can all celebrate. Okay. Anyways, thank you so much. I'm going to go make my chicken salad. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week and I will see you guys next Wednesday. Bye-bye.